We present My Music, a musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreiber. And here to introduce the teams is Steve Race.
My Music is the name of the game, and the game contestants are John Amos and Frank Muir, competing against Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. The first question goes to John and consists of just 1.5 seconds of sound, so listen carefully, John. What follows that, John? Go on. And verbally?
Isn't it from Fafard?
Yes, that's right. Little overture and then...
It's not the very first thing, with no words to it.
No, it's a knighted person.
What? It's a knighted. When Sir B. Elzebub called for his syllabub in the hotel and hotel... Blah, blah.
Yeah, let's hear a bit done by Cleo Lane and Annie Ross.
When his syllabub in the hotel in hell where Persephone burst out flew as the gendarmerie were the ways of the sea, rocking and shocking the barney.
From Walton's Facade, you're quite right. I was reading not very long ago John Pearson's book about the Sitwells. It's called, you know, it's called Facades. And I loved something he wrote in there, and he said, talking for Edith Sitwell, he said, Edith's interest in painting was more or less confined to portraits of herself. Frank, your turn, some singing. Question, is the singer A, Louis Armstrong, B, the Dorothy Squires, or C, someone else entirely?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
it isn't.
No.
He wouldn't sing that kind of a musical accompaniment in that kind of way.
No,
but Dorothy Squires is an interesting thought. I think it's a phenomenon called I have a stomachache. Peru lady or something with 140 octaves called Ema Sumac.
Sumac, the voice of the Extabay, who in her more normal moments sounded like this. Ian, time pricks me on. Can you tell me who is singing in this opera? And it would be nice if you could give me the names of two knights.
Hey! Anto! Andate in tenervi! Ma non più a me! Due lettere prendi per due signore! Consegna il posto! Corri via! E sto a! L'onore!
Right, Ian.
Yes.
The splendid Sir Geraint Evans.
Yes.
Portraying the splendid Sir John Falstaff.
Yes.
I had the privilege on one occasion with Scottish opera of playing the part of Pistola, and Geraint was afflicted with a very bad cold and very courageously went on and gave a splendid performance. He said to me and chap who was playing the part of Bardolfo, there's a bit where in the first act where Falstaff sings falsetto, and this is a terribly hard thing to do when you have got a bad chest. And I can still remember him saying before we started the act, he said, when I come to that bit of falsetto, hold on to me hard, lads. We did. We grasped an arm and out came a splendid bit of falsetto under pressure.
Yes, the part I played is from the soliloquy on honour from Verdi's Falstaff. Dennis, two themes. The question is, what connects them? First,
I
And now this.
What connects them is... See how many I remember. Steve McQueen, Charles Bronson...
Going to go through
James Coburn...
Seven.
Robert Vaughan, Horst Buchholz, Brad Dexter, and I missed one out. Yul Brynner.
Yeah, and Seven Horses.
Seven Horses, yeah. The Magnificent Seven.
That's right, because the first was the theme from the Magnificent Seven, and the second...
And that was the other one that Elmer Bernstein did. Was it The Return of the Magnificent? Because there are about five,
yes.
Magnificent
Seven. And The Return of the Seven, the respective themes, yes.
I'm quite certain, Steve, that before we leave that round, that the little bit of music played before John's question from the Facade will have reminded a great many people, middle-aged and older, of going to dances when they were young, because it was just that sort of zoom boom that dance bands used to do, that you knew there wasn't going to be any more. They cleared the floor and
bosh.
I could intermission better than I could dance.
The subject of this next round is sex. S-blank-X. John, I quote, "Hardly love outlives the wedding night. False flames, love's meteors, yield my torch no light." I don't think I want to know what it means, but do you know what it comes from?
No.
Not even with a clue like Purcell, Henry Purcell.
Henry Purcell? Dido?
No, wrong guess. It's
Fairy Queen?
Yes, second guess. Half a mark, I suppose. Bass aria, See I Obey, from the Epithalamium of the Fairy Queen. Words from an anonymous adaptation of A Midsummer Night's Dream. Frank, still on the subject of sex and marriage, if you're looking for a sunny honeymoon, what should you first take the precaution of doing?
It's very bad advice, this.
Yes.
It's, you know it. Learn to croon.
Yes. Learn to croon. You'll eliminate each rival soon. If you're looking for a sunny honeymoon,
learn to croon.
Ian, this... sorry, have you done it?
He's still got his L plates on.
Mention crooning to Frank and you're in for a night of it, aren't you? Ian, this description of a liaison will shock you, I know. You ready?
Yes.
Swiftly fled each honeyed hour spent with this unmanly male. Camberwell became a bower, Peckham an Arcadian vale, breathing concentrated Otto, an existence a la Watto. Whose existence, Ian?
Oh, the existence of the plaintiff.
Yes.
In trial by jury. This was an impassioned...
According to counsel.
Prosecution from the council.
Concentrated Otto, is that actually was attar of roses? That's what Otto means.
Oh, really?
In that context.
Yes. I certainly didn't know that.
Dennis, rather an old-fashioned declaration of love, comes from another old Bing Crosby song. I could find delight in your charms every night, my whole life through.
Your eyes revealed you have the soul of an angel white as snow. How long must I play the role of a gloomy Romeo? So, please.
Please get you a mark. That's right. Well, we got through that. Here's a question addressed to all four of you. A very simple question. We'll go around the panel getting your answers. The question is, what did Schubert do four or even five times? Now, there's one to be mulling over. What did Schubert do four or even perhaps five times? John, have a shot.
Cleaned his teeth.
That's a good guess, right? Frank?
How many children did he have?
I think I'm right in saying none, aren't I?
If he only
cleaned his teeth four times, he'd lucky to have a wife, actually.
Did he four or five times unsuccessfully try to pluck up enough courage to talk to Beethoven?
Oh, do you know, I thought you were going to get it. That's an interesting answer, for which you should have a mark.
Oh, thank you.
Been noted.
Yes, that's right. Ian.
Back to winner.
They're all going to get marks on this one.
I think I know what the answer is, actually.
Well, we'll see in a second. Dennis.
I didn't think he did four or five times at all. I thought it was Louis Armstrong who did four or five times. Actually, only knowing Richard Tauber's portrayal of him, from the look of it, I would say four or five times he let out the waistband on his trousers.
Well, the correct answer, which John now thinks he knows, I'll give you the answer, really, in a snatch of music. Listen. Four or five times, Schubert left a symphony unfinished. Was that the answer you thought later?
No.
What was your second?
I thought you were going to say four or five times he had a work published.
Mm, that could be deplorably true. Possibly true, I suppose. Somebody will write and tell us.
So-and-so.
Beside my right hand is a piano, a grand one, as they have it in Ireland. And on it, I shall play a medley of eight tunes, four to be identified by each team. First four, John and Frank. Second four tunes, Ian and Dennis. First
landlord, fill the flowing bowl till it does run.
Thank you. Half of that.
I'm looking over a four-leaf clover.
Ooh, yes, it's getting promising. And then
Nutcracker.
I'm not allowed to say that.
Yes. John's allowed to say it. It's from the Nutcracker Suite. Which little dance?
We call the Danse des Mirlitons.
Well, there's half a dozen different titles. Yes. Reed pipes and things like that. Yes. From the Nutcracker Suite anyway. And the fourth one, Frank?
I was writing Four Leaf Clover. What? How's it going?
No, that's,
Trinity Church, I Met My Doom. That's
all right.
I live in a top back room.
Right, over to the other side, Ian and Dennis.
The first one, I think you dealt from the bottom of the pack, actually, because it was the verse,
Verse 2 for 2.
I'm discontented with homes that I've rented.
But then I went back to choruses for...
Your Lullaby of Birdland.
Yes, George Shearing's deal.
Pretty Piccolino.
Girls.
For the first time, I think, in my music history, everybody's got everything right in that round.
The first one on the other side took me back to... Remember, they used to have records on postcards.
Yes. Terrible they sounded.
Oh, terrible! And I had one once of landlord fill the flowing bowl, and when we had a wind up gramophone, and I could still hear it, having put it on, so eager, having brought it home and forgotten to wind the gramophone up. And I can still remember it going, and it had a crack on it, unfortunately, as well, and it went, landlord, fill the flowing bowling, bowling, bowling.
I had a record of the, in those days, of the Second Hungarian Rhapsody, with one of those unfortunate things that happened in the groove, and it went, I'll show on the piano. And it never went. It's a shame, isn't it?
Yeah. Do you remember, Frank? We used to have an office, and at Christmas time, it was about, look down on Regent Street, and there was a chap used to play the trumpet.
Oh, yes.
And he used to play Ramona. And we were like six stories up, but you could hear it out of, as it were, the corner of your ear all the time. But every time somebody dropped something in his cap, he would stop pick up.
Thank
so,
you. Thank you,
and something inside you would wait. So he would go, na 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 na.
and we'd cringe. And he'd, da-da-da.
Very much a change of topic now, because the subject is opera. Federica von Stade in an aria from Così fan tutti. Not necessarily to do with the questions that follow. I just wanted an excuse to hear that lovely singing. Well, there is a connection, actually. John, an operatic personality for you to identify. He took minor orders in the priesthood, became a court poet in Vienna, writing libretti for Mozart. He lived in London for a while, then emigrated to America, where he taught Italian at Columbia University. Who was he?
Lorenzo da Ponte.
Yes. Librettist for Cossi, actually.
At one time, apparently, when they wrote Don Giovanni, they had lodgings opposite each other, and the windows were very close, and they just used to lean out of the window and ask each other questions. Oh, by the way, did we remember to... Yeah, I think we did. You know, blah,
blah. I thought it was Casanova to the American bit.
Well, yes. Strange to think that a librettist for Mozart taught at Columbia University somehow. It seems anachronistic. Frank, what had the English colonial secretary to do with Wagner's Rienzi? Also, Mary Russell Mitford, I may say.
I'll do you a viceroy of India who wrote a long poem called Tannhäuser.
Curzon? Viceroy of India?
Yeah. Lord Lytton.
Uh-huh. Same bloke.
Same bloke, yes. Same bloke.
Sir Bulwer's.
Yeah, Bulwer Lytton. Well, you've got it,
Two of them.
How does one...
My chap wrote under the name of Owen Meredith.
Ah, well, Bulwer Lytton was the one
was I... Was the met. Novelist,
yes,
Dad.
That's right, yeah. Ah, Dad. Well, he wrote Rienzi, the last of the tribunes, on which Wagner's opera was based.
Ooh.
Mary Russell Mitford having got ahead of both of them with a play version. So it's Mitford first, then Bulwer Lytton, and then Wagner, and I haven't the remotest idea whether you've got a mark or not.
Yeah, give him one, a safe trundle.
Could you give me a fountain pen worth 5 shillings? Gift voucher.
Give him a half mark, I think, don't you, for knowing the answer to the wrong question. Ian, who fell unpredictably in love with the Vicar of Plovely?
Oh. This all arose through a love potion in a large teapot. At a vicarage tea party.
Likely story.
It was in The Sorcerer, and everybody fell in love with unsuitable people. And he was the vicar.
That's right.
And he fell in love. I cannot remember her name, except that she was the daughter of Lady Sangazur.
We don't want tittle-tattle anywhere. Yeah.
I'll just rattle through the answer. Aline, daughter of Lady Sangazur in The Sorcerer, fell in love with Dr. Daly, who played the flageolet, or the flageolet. Dennis, what can you tell me about bel canto?
Well, nothing that would really add to the sum of human knowledge. I don't. All I know about bel canto is what I've learnt on this program, and I think I believe it's
she was Italian
for fine singing.
Yeah.
And whenever you refer to it, or you real musicians refer to it, there's always a sort of slight tone of condescension about it. I've found. Oh, am I right?
I wouldn't say that, would you, Ian?
No.
Would you say that?
No, I don't think
Canto.
So.
Oh, well, then I must be confusing it with Eddie Cantor.
We walked straight into that.
Yes. The opposite to bel canto is can belto.
Yes. John, could you give us an example of bel canto, just the sort of music that's meant by bel canto?
It's just beautiful singing, that's
Well, yes, but what sort of... I mean, you wouldn't sing boots, boots, boots bel canto, would you? You'd sing...
I hope not.
Give us, for instance...
Da di 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 da di di da di di. I mean, as opposed to bam ba da 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 ba ba da 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 ba da ba da.
I like the second one better.
Beautiful singing, music, singing with line. Mm. Four songs of longing complete our show this week. Longing for Cuba. though the song came before certain political developments there. A longing to be near you, to dream of you, and to have something that Ian claims was nearly his in the South Pacific Ocean. Right, John, your Cuban love song, originally sung by a baritone, or was it a tenor?
Excuse me, Ian.
Or was it Edmundo Ross? Anyway, it was his signature tune. Mm. Anyway, it's now your Cuban
Lawrence love song. Tibet.
That's a good place to... Mal Kenter.
I love you, that's what my heart is saying, while every breeze is playing a Cuban love song. Oh, one melody will always thrill my heart, one kiss will all cheer my heart when we're apart, dear. I love you with such a tender passion, and only you can fashion a Cuban love song.
Definitely a touch of the bel canto.
Yeah, bellissimo.
At least it's a nice song, which is more than some can say. Frank, what? The accompaniment to your song, Near You, is by a traditional sort of rumble-rumble rhythm. I'm prepared to try it if you're prepared to do the necessary hanging about.
Well, I know when to come in.
No, but I shall do my best to follow you.
Ba-dum, ba-dum, ba-dum.
That's it. That's the place. That's empty, please.
Hang around on the pavement here.
Come in when you like.
There's but one place for me.
Near you.
It's like heaven to be.
Near you.
Times when we're apart. I can't place my heart. And you'll never stray more than just two lips away. If your hours could be spent
near you,
I'd be more than content.
Near you,
make my mirth worthwhile by telling me that I'll spend the rest of my life
near you.
Dennis, in that classic Hollywood musical we both liked so much, Debbie Reynolds emerged from a large cake to sing and dance All I Do Is Dream of You.
Oh, I'll do a slightly crummy version. Shall we do it the same lick? Let's see if we can do it.
All I do the whole night through is dream of you. With the dawn I still go on a dream of you. You're every thought, you're everything, you're every song I ever sing. Winter, summer, autumn and spring. And were there more than 24 hours a day, they'd be spent in sweet content dreaming away. Skies are grey, skies are blue, morning, noon and night time too. All I do the whole day through is dream of you.
That was, as they said in the film, the cat's meow.
That was Bill Gallipo.
What's that lovely... If we have brung some entertainment in your humdrum lives.
Yes. Oh, Gene Hagen. If we have brung some
entertainment... That's right.
Singing in the Rain was the film, in case anybody's still wondering. Ian, this nearly was mine. Would you rather have the note you're actually starting on?
No,
right.
One dream in my heart, one love to be living for, one love to be living for, this nearly was mine. My dream, one part
was mine. Close to my heart she came, only to fly away, only to fly as day flies from
Richard Rodgers certainly knew how to write a resounding song, didn't he? A lovely final line. I suppose I'd better mention the final score, though really nobody up here much cares. It's a victory this week for Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race and the program was produced by Tony Schreiber.